I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to thank you, all our musicians this morning. And again, thank you for taking part this morning. You know, God is good. God is just good. It's just unbelievable how good He is. Do you know He has promised heaven for you and me if we'll just believe in Him, trust Him as our Savior? We don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. I know that, and yet I'm an heir of heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. Do you know what heaven's going to be like? I don't either. I always remember what Ken Regeer used to say to me. He said, Ken, you're going to heaven. Why are you worried? He says, yeah, but I've never been there. Well, I haven't either, and I'm looking forward to it. And God is so good. God's so good to give me life, eternal life in Him. And all I did was believe. All I did was believe many years ago. And that's all you need, is just to believe. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is about Jesus Christ. And it focuses on Him. And I want to read Hebrews chapter 1 and just the first three verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He also hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He sat down. It is finished. He did the work that you and I can never do. We can try all our lives to save ourselves, and it would be for nothing. But Jesus Christ was able to save, and He sat down. God has spoken. In verse 2, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. By His Son. That's how God has spoken to you and me. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the Word, became a man. He became a flesh that He can die on the cross for me. No man has seen God at any time. He hath declared Him. Jesus has made Him known. Jesus has explained Him. John 1:18. Well, Christ is the theme of the book of Hebrews, going back to Hebrews here. And it speaks of the superiority of Christ. That Jesus Christ is better than all. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the priests. He's better than angels. The supremacy and finality of Jesus Christ is found here. It said of Spurgeon that at every service he announced, I have nothing tonight but to preach Jesus Christ. Every service he said that. I have nothing tonight but to preach Jesus Christ. Well, that's where we ought to be. I have nothing to preach but Jesus Christ. I have nothing to say but Jesus Christ. I have nothing to live for but Jesus Christ. Well, the Jewish Christians to whom the writer of the Hebrews is writing, and this was written to Jewish Christians, their conversion to Jesus Christ brought hardship and persecution. And as a result, some of them slipped back into Judaism. And so he writes to them in part to encourage these Christians to press on. Go forward with Christ. Don't turn back. Don't go back to the legalism of Judaism. And we see that in chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 10, verse 26, and other verses. The world was falling apart at that time. There was persecution. The Christians were losing their property and their privilege, and even could cost them their lives. In fact, in chapter 10, we read in chapter 10, verse 32 to verse 34, we read, but call to remembrance the former days in which after that you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. They were living for what was ahead, and they could endure their afflictions knowing they had in heaven a better home, a better substance. But evidently, no one had yet been killed, but death could soon come. In fact, in chapter 12, verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted to blood in striving against sin. In other words, the writer is saying, you haven't died yet. You're not dead yet. Maybe that's what God would say to you and me. You're not dead yet. What are you complaining about? You're still here. You can still live for Jesus. You still lay up reward in heaven. You still honor him. You can still be a blessing to someone. You can still lead someone to Jesus Christ. You're not dead. You haven't resisted unto blood in striving against sin and against sinners. Well, the writer of Hebrews writes to admonish and encourage his friends. And this was a small group of believers who were probably scared to death. And they feared arrest, and so they had withdrawn from worshiping together. And that's why they're admonished in chapter 10, verse 25, to not forsake the assembling of themselves together, and to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Didn't God know what was going on? Well, sure he did. But we wonder, well, if he did, then how can this be happening? Did he care? Where was he to help these small group of Christians? Well, then the letter to the Hebrews arrived. They got a letter. This Christian group got a letter. And they gathered around, and probably one of them stood up and read that letter from the writer to the Hebrews. We don't know who it was. Some think it was Paul. We're not told who the writer was. Anyway, the letter arrived, and they gathered, one read, and he read this: God, who at various times and various manners spoke in time past, God, who at sundry or various times in various manners spoke in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so these frightened Christians were brought face to face with the God who speaks to them. It's not a God way off so far distant that we can never hear him, never hear his voice, or that we'll never see him. No, it's a God who speaks. And you and I are privileged to be able to hear this God of the universe, this God who is infinite, this God who never had a beginning and will never have an ending, speaks. And he speaks through his Son. He speaks. What comfort in life's troubles. God has spoken. Man can't discover God. God revealed himself, because God is love. And love has to reveal itself. And so God, who is love, revealed himself not to the world only, but to you and to me. He didn't stay silent. How terrible if God had not spoken to man. But he has spoken, and he's spoken his redeeming, life-giving word. God has spoken. Number one, God has spoken. God has spoken in time past, we might say. Chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and various manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. In various times and various ways, or some translate it, in many ways, speaks of the diversity of God's speech in the Old Testament. For example, God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai in thunder and lightning and the voice of a trumpet. My, how he thundered. My, how his voice shook the mountain. But God whispered to Elijah in a still small voice in 1 Kings 19:12. Ezekiel had visions. Daniel had dreams. He appeared unto Abram in human form. He appeared to Jacob as an angel. He appeared to Joshua as a soldier. And he appeared to Balaam with the voice of a donkey, of all things. Various ways, various manners. God's spokesman prophesied and preached and used a smorgasbord of methods to get the message to the people. Dreams and visions and angels and voices. God used them all. Malachi used questions and answers. To Haggai, Haggai preached sermons. Zechariah used mysterious signs. Ezekiel performed symbolic acts. All these were part of the various ways that revealed God's loving desire to communicate with his people. God has always wanted to communicate with sinners, with people who need salvation. And so he communicated in various ways. And God was never boring and always revealing more of himself and more of his way to mankind. And his revelation and his communication strengthened the faith of his saints. That's why he did it. They were strengthened when they heard the voice of God. He strengthened Abraham into offering his son on the altar. Of course, God stopped him, but Abraham would have, and he offered his son. He strengthened Moses to stand before Pharaoh. He strengthened David to go up against the giant Goliath. He strengthened Daniel to stand before Nebuchadnezzar and to be cast into the lion's den. He strengthened Joshua, who was outmanned at Jericho. He strengthened Gideon to where Gideon could take his measly 300 men and go up against the Midianites and their 120,000. 300 versus 120,000. And we know the story. We know who won, right? Gideon. Gideon, the sword of the Lord. And Gideon. Well, and that's in Judges 6, verse 12 and following. God has spoken in time past. He's spoken eloquently, powerfully, majestically. And yet, it was still lacking. There was something missing. It didn't add up to the fullness of what God had to say. His word was not completely spoken until Christ came, until his son came. Then he has declared him. But when he came, that was and is his final word. We need no other word. We have Jesus Christ. He completed the revelation. Everything in the Old Testament looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Everything since then looks back on his coming into the world. And as we observe the Lord's Supper today, we remember his coming into the world to die for our sins. You see? So number one, God has spoken in time past in many ways. Number two, God has spoken in these last days by his Son. He has spoken these last days by his Son. You see, everything leads up to Christ. Everything. Everything in the Old Testament leads up to Jesus Christ and progresses to him. But there's no progression beyond him. Romans 11:36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Of him, through him, and to him are all things. Everything is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He is the beginning. He is the ending. He is the continuing. Everything good flows from him. Everything good flows to him. Everything good we enjoy is because of him. Now has come the full, final, completed speech of God. And so he says in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. End of story. Done. It is finished, he cried. By his Son. Literally, that can be translated in his Son. In these last days, he's spoken unto us in his Son. Either way, it's a wonderful truth. The person of his Son contains everything. God's previous spokesmen were his servants, but were not his beloved Son. They were for the communication of his word to a lost world. But then he chose his Son to save a lost world. The Gospel of John in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus Christ was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He was fully God and fully man, the God-man. But he was God. But Christ has always sought to reveal himself. And then again, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, and we will behold his glory, will we not? Oh, what glory that will be. What glory. What joy. What a thrill. Are you excited about going to heaven? Are you anticipating seeing Jesus? Do you think about that? You know, I caught myself the other day realizing I don't dwell on that enough. I don't think about what it's going to be when I see Jesus. And so I was taking our grand dog for a walk. We're babysitting our son and daughter-in-law's dog for a while. He's a Gobarian. You ever seen a Gobarian? We'll have to bring him to church sometime. He's a mix of between a golden retriever and a Siberian husky. So they call him a Gobarian. Anyway, so I get to walk the Gobarian every day for about 30 minutes, and I enjoy it. But I get out there and walk, and I just was thinking of the Lord. I thought, Lord, I don't meditate. And when I'm walking, my mind just goes blank. There's nothing in that brain, you know. And sometimes we need that. Need to kind of relax your brain. But I thought, I can be thinking about Jesus. And I had a wonderful walk because I thought more about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And that he was just walking with me. And we need to do that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He put skin on, the Word. Jesus put skin on, some would say. Christ the Son made it possible to know him as we can never have imagined possible before. In fact, John 1:18, if you're in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Son has declared the Father. He made him known. Literally, he explained him, revealed him, made him known. He is the complete revelation of who God is. He's a permanent revelation, the final revelation, the supreme revelation. Everything in the Old Testament was all only partial, leading up, temporary, preparatory. And all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. 2 Corinthians 1:19-20. In Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. All things. Look at Hebrews, if maybe you're in Hebrews. Hebrews 12 and verse 18. I'd like to read verse 18 through 24. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burn with fire, and the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, and they were just scared to death, for they cannot endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart or a spear. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you, by way of contrast, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, the earthly Jerusalem just pointed ahead to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And in the innumerable means there are too many to be counted. You can't count them. And we're come to that, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and in the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The Old Testament was glorious, but it pales in comparison to the new covenant. One writer said, beautiful is the night in which the moon and the stars are prophecy, the Old Testament prophecy and types are shining, but when the sun rises, then we forget the hours of watchful expectancy, and in the calm and joyous light of day, there is revealed to us the reality and substance of the eternal and heavenly sanctuary. God has spoken to us by his Son, and that is glorious, for he is glorious. Galatians 4, you might want to turn there. Galatians 4, and verses 4 and 5, familiar passage, of course. Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Got that? God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's why he did it, to redeem us, to make us his children. He adopted us. I'm adopted into the family of God. Wow. To Joseph, in Matthew 1, verse 21, to Joseph, the angel of the Lord said this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted as God with us. Matthew 1, 21 and 23. A son is given unto us. A child is born, but a son is given. As a baby, as a child, he was born to Mary, laid in a manger. But as a son, he was not born. As a son, he never had a beginning. He never had a birth. As a son, he was given. In other words, a child is born, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we love the great hymn of that. The Magi said in Matthew 2:2, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Born King of the Jews. Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1:31-33, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. A son. She's going to conceive and bear a son. And he's going to be the Son of the Highest. So he's the son of Mary, but he's the Son of God. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. God has spoken, and sinful man is without excuse. Salvation has come. Isn't it wonderful? Salvation has come. The night Roberta and I were saved, we just had our anniversary of salvation a few days ago. It was on December 4th, 1974. So that's 47 years ago. 47 years ago on December 4th, we kneeled in front of our couch in our living room in Alma, Nebraska, and we prayed to receive Christ as Savior. And I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't get over it. I got up from the floor, off my knees. I said, "You mean that's all there is?" And I knew I was saved. I can tell. There's a change. I have peace. All of a sudden I had peace in my heart. And the burden was lifted. And God did that. God gave me salvation. God laid his redemption, came through Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took away my sin and took away your sin if you believed on him. And he will take away your sin if you'll trust him today. Now look at Hebrews 9, Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 24 to 28. Let's read these or follow along as I read. Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the fingers of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God. For who? For you and me, for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as a high priest entered in the holy place every year with the blood of others. On the Day of Atonement, he entered in year after year after year after year, and it never did take away sin. It was only remembering that man needed forgiveness. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming again. He's coming again. And we don't need to be forgiven at that time. We're going to be ushered into the very throne of God. Salvation has come. God has spoken, and sinful man is without excuse. Redemption is possible. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, John cried in John 1:29. Christ was once offered. And then look at Hebrews 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou shalt have no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written, I come to do thy will, O God. And above, when he says, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first, that we may be able to establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Once for you. Once for me. And verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can enter in. We can enter into the presence of God now. That's just unbelievable. Who had ever thought that would be possible? The God of eternity, God of infinity, the God of holiness invites you and me, blood-washed sinners, to enter in because of the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. He did it all. He did it all for you. What are you doing for him? What will you do for him? Will you give him your life? Will you give him your heart? That's the least we can do, is give him our all. That's all we can do, is give him our all. It's both, isn't it? May God find us giving him our all in service, in prayer, in meditation, in communicating the word to others. May we do it for him. He did it all for you. And we're going to heaven. And we get to heaven, are we going to say, oh my, if I'd only told more about this place, if I'd only talked to others how they need to be saved so they can go to heaven and they would have been able to enjoy what now I am enjoying. Now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. God has spoken by his Son. Have you heard him? He's still speaking today in his Son. Are you and I listening and obeying and serving? We can be. May we be found doing so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. There is much here. There is so much here. May we be found meditating and delighting, rejoicing, in fact, being thrilled when we're in your word. May it not just be a mundane routine, but may it be the delight of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made, and only you, the Son of God, can make that sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that our sins were nailed to that cross, that you bore them in your body on that cross. You did it because you loved us, and you love us still. I pray, Lord, for any here today, know not Christ as Savior, that they would soon come, quickly come, come now to him, receive forgiveness and life eternal. Help us, Lord, to live for you and honor you, and may we know your joy and your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless now as we close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.